I'll switch microphones there and appreciate that as something that we, I never know what God's going to do with the church. This is His church. There was an article in the newspaper many years ago when you guys can stand if you're able to. We'll read Genesis chapter 8 and ask what my goal was as far as the church. And I said, I don't have a goal. I just want to get as many people saved as we can and let God add to it however He does. But I do know that it is harder and harder for people to make connections the more services and the people are here and there and everywhere. And I don't know if you know this, but as a pastor, it seems like we have different people on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's just a constantly rotating thing. And so appreciate your attempts and your effort to try to get to know people and make yourself available. But some of these events, I am pro-evangelism. That is not like I'm a professional evangelist, but I am definitely let's go win people. But I know that because it's my deficiency that we have to try to put some effort into making those connections as well. Genesis chapter 8, and let's look at verse number 15. Genesis 8, verse 15. God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl, of cattle, of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, be fruitful, multiply upon the earth. Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Let's be seated. We'll bow to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the praise that we've sung and the people that have given testimony of just a touch from you over this weekend. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that friendships and fellowships would turn into fruitfulness for your kingdom's sake. Lord, that we would be your hands and feet and others would know us by our love one toward another. Thank you for the place that we have to meet. Thank you for the people that we have to meet with. And thank you for the person we get to meet for, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you bless the service tonight. I pray for wisdom. And I pray that you'd have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we talked about what stinks in the Bible this morning, so I thought we probably better bounce it out. What smells good in the Bible tonight? What smells good? And there are some things that are just well-pleasing, and we have sense to know things are not right, and then we also have sense to know when things are right. Would you say amen to that? And there are some wonderful things that of odor or of sense that you say, wow, that smells good. If we didn't have the bad, we wouldn't recognize the good. I'm waiting for spring to sometime come here and stay and not go back and hide after it gets here. This snow and these weather, all these things, it's back and forth. Brother Steve Reinhold told me that in Cuernavaca, where we went to meet the doctors, it's 70 degrees all year long. How boring would that be? I know you're like, where's that place at? I'll take a longer mission trip there. But there is something to be said about the back and forth and the extremes to realize and recognize how blessed and what we appreciate and are grateful for. In this passage, we see that something smelled good unto the Lord. It was an offering that was made after Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives got off the ark. I believe that this is an amazing offering. There are some wonderful offerings in Scripture to study, and the offering of the widow's mite, amen? She gave all that she had. There's the offering of Elijah when he asked for water to be brought when it was a drought for 3.5 years. You imagine that? You think there's a shortage? What about the water at that time? And that's what they brought and poured all over the altar. What an offering. The offering of Jesus, there's nothing better, is there? God gave us his very best, and Jesus died on the cross, as Sharon said, for us. That's who he died for. But this offering, I believe it's a sweet smell, and it's a wonderful, quote, odor for the Lord to realize, because can you just think with me, they're getting off the ark, they don't have a whole lot of clean animals left. I know they went on 2x2 and they brought some of the animals 7x7. There's not a whole lot to choose from when it came to offering. Can you imagine that fowl saying, please not me, please not me. One of my six friends, how about that to offer? There just wasn't a whole lot of options in order to give an offering, but Noah still realized the priority of offering something to the Lord. What a blessing. I know that there are times when people serve the Lord and it seems like there's nothing else they have to do. And that's wonderful and great that you give it to the Lord. But I also know when people serve the Lord and they have everything that they need to do. And they still find time to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's a sweet-smelling offering when the priority is made above everything else. In the disciples' story, John was the one that was beloved of Jesus. Like, what? Why'd you pick him? And I don't know, but my always assumption was because he was the youngest and he was giving more of his life to Jesus than the others. I just think that priority of setting aside the offering for the Lord, when they just got off of the ark, notice in verse 20, Noah built an altar. He built an ark to save himself, but he built an altar to sacrifice for himself and to give something to the Lord that was pleasing. He took of every clean beast, it says. It wasn't just of one clean beast, of every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Boy, that priority of sacrificing something that is of high demand and low quantity is probably the reason why it smelled so wonderful to the Lord Jesus. After being in the mountains of Mexico from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and Monday, on the way back, there was a tire that blew on the bus that was hauling the rest of the doctors. Imagine that, a church trip with a busted tire. Never happens, right? I said, this is just like a good old church trip in America. Something goes wrong, and we were trying to stay together, and so we stopped in a little town, and we were looking for some place to eat, and I couldn't wait for some street tacos. I mean, I've been praying for a street taco the whole time, just trying to find something. And we were looking around. I smelled one. I made my way over. In fact, they about left me because I was getting street tacos, and they got in the van. And somebody said, we forgot preacher. I'm like, if they leave me, they'll know where to find me. I'll be where it smells really good. But we got some things, and it tasted good because we haven't had... we had some good food, but it was really a lot better food when we got to town. And then we stopped at a place, and I'm telling you, it was the most wonderful aroma that I had smelled for at least 5 or 6 days. It was meat on a grill. Can somebody say amen? And I said, that's the place. I could see the smoke coming from the grill, and I said, that's what we're eating right there. Go find a seat. Because it just smelled so good, because I was wanting some protein, you know what I'm saying? No more nuts and berries and granola bars for me. Give me something that used to walk and squawk, and I will eat that now. And it was the best smelling aroma that I had had all that week, because I had just missed it for a few days. And man, no chicken toes for me. I like chicken fingers, but not chicken toes. Amen? And the priority of it, if you're missing it, then it's something that means a lot. Wow, the Lord smelled that offering, and the Bible says it was a sweet savor. And he said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Now, I'm sure the Lord's mind was made up, but boy, it says he made that decision after he smelled the sweet aroma of the priority of sacrifice. Listen, if you want to have something that smells good to God, it's not how much cologne you put on, it's not how much deodorant, how many sprays of wherever you go, whatever you get. It's a sacrifice, and God knows when you're sacrificing, and God knows when you're just giving him what's left. He knows that. You can be busy and not be giving God anything of value. God knows it. And you can be what seemingly unbusy in giving him everything. It's in his eyes. It's not the eye of our behold, what we behold. And so I tell you that it would smell good when you give a sacrifice of priority. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. By the way, whoever set my clock 10 minutes fast, I'm ignoring it now. Just teasing. Ephesians chapter number 5. My wife's down with the kids, and she said, is there a time limit tonight? I see your text, my wife, and I'm telling on you right now. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. If you don't know my wife, she loves to make my life difficult when laughing at me and teasing with me. And I say that jokingly. I have the best wife for me. If any other personality, I would probably push over them and manipulate and run over them. And I do not get to manipulate my wife, if you haven't figured it out. She can stand her ground very, very firm and let me know what I need to hear. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a, what's it say? Yes, it is. Jesus' offering was not his will, but thine be done. If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We are called to have a parallel love that Jesus gave. What kind of love is that? It says it's a walking love. Look at verse number 2. And walk in love. Many times we say we love, but this is a show that you love. It's an action. It's a walk. It's something that is moving and has a destination and purpose in doing. A lot of times we can say the words, but this is showing it, and it's a parallel to Jesus. I don't think that anyone has any reason to doubt that Jesus loves us because of what is in front of us while we're preaching in the pulpit. The cross shows that his action was all involved in proving his love for you and for me. You may have moments where you doubt his presence or doubt his closeness, but we should never doubt his love because it was shown on a cross high on a hill for everyone to see and to remember for all time. You all say amen to that? The cross proves I love you, and he showed it this much. What a blessing. We're called to have that parallel love. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. A child is very, very trusting when he follows someone that's in the lead. There may be moments of questioning or talking back, but most of the time the child will realize, I need to listen to what that big person's telling me to do, or they might be able to get my attention in other ways. Oh, I don't think it should just be out of fear, but it should be a parallel because Jesus did not fear the Father's wrath, but yet he was looking for it to pass, but willing to let it come across to him. Verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given, what's it say? We know that God so loved the world that he gave the Son, but the Son gave himself. Greatest gift you ever put in the offering is just you. I don't remember what story that was, but the little boy, as the offering came by, he had nothing to give, so he just said, put that on the ground, and he's gotten the offering plate himself. No greater gift than you giving yourself to Jesus. Well, I just don't think I have much to offer. Wonderful, give it all. God will do what he wants to do with it. And in this verse, we see that it's a sweet-smelling savor that Jesus would give himself for an offering, and we're called to follow and do as Christ did as well. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Can you all say amen to that? You know what smells good? When there's a personal supply for someone to do the ministry of God. I believe it's a humbling thing for a missionary to go to a foreign field, but it's probably even more humbling to know that they're counting on the offerings and the gifts and the just free will financial things of someone else. I can't imagine how it could be done any better, because they know God's supplying the need, but they're so appreciative when they see the faces of those that have helped them. Steve told me over and again, he said, when you get back to your church, you make sure you tell them, thank you so much. He said, I know that Doc Silva was so encouraged. And as Tom said, it was like a little kid in a candy shop. He opened every little case that we had shipped to Mexico when we got there. And he's like, oh, and he's speaking Spanish. I can't say what he was saying, but he wanted to go through every little suture. And he pulled out one suture and he said, in Spanish for donkey, because the needle was like that big or long. And he said, donkey. And he's like big enough to sew a donkey up, you know. And he was so appreciative, so thankful. And I know that Brother Steve Reinhold is making connections and networking with important connections to reach other people. And for him to be able to have some help to make that connection, it was like a very, very good, proud moment for Steve to say, look, wow, this. He said, you're the only church that I've ever gotten to come down on one of these mission trips. He said, I've asked a bunch. But you guys are the only church that has come, and I just thank you, so thank you for coming and encouraging and being a part. You know, when someone supplies the need for Paul, it was a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. Notice, Paul has the authority and the authenticity that even though he's the one receiving the gift, look at verse 18, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received. He's the one that received it. But look who it pleased in verse number 18. Who did it please? Please God. That's amazing. And I know it's scripture. I believe that the Holy Spirit inspired these things. But Paul, having received it, and he said, this is well-pleasing to God. I'm very careful to speak on God's behalf unless I've got a chapter and verse. Those are dangerous things to say, not having what we know. And when people say, well, God told me this, I'm like, you better quote the verse that he said that. Be careful. Paul has the verse that says it, and it's well-pleasing. It's something that smells good in the Bible. There are some things that stank in the Bible, but there are some wonderful things that smell pleasing to the Lord. And the last one, go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 8. What smells good in the Bible? Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of, what's it say? Which are the prayers of saints. Oh, there's prayer of thanksgiving. There's prayer of supplication. There's prayer of intercession. There's prayer of need. There's prayer for the lost. There's prayer for the brother who's sinned a sin, not unto death. There's all kinds of prayers, but I'm telling you, I think they all smell good to God. I think that it's a wonderful, wonderful activity that we'll never speak of too much. We'll never overestimate. We'll never get too much of it in our life is prayer. Oh, it smells wonderful to God. It's something that he's always willing to take another breath in and another in this illustration to fill his nostrils with the odors of your prayers. Sometimes our prayers might not be in line, but the Holy Spirit fixes them. What else can you say that the Holy Spirit fixes while you're doing, right? He intercedes with our prayers, makes intercessions. What a blessing. It's just something that if you'll spend the time and I'll make more time for, we'll see more wonderful things happen. A young man this morning that was in church, and Mike Black has prayed for him I don't know how many mornings, and just praying for this teenage boy to come back to church, and we praying and praying, and this out of the blue call said, "Hey, can I come to church tomorrow?" You know why things like that happen? Because other people are praying for them to happen. That's the only thing I can say. Why would those, when people pray, God responds and just miraculous things begin to happen in other people's lives, and then they start praying. You can talk about the preaching, but praying's what shook the place in Acts chapter 3. There might have been some good preaching, but it was the praying that broke down the jail cell doors and let Peter out. He wasn't preaching when he got out. They were praying when he got out. And the prayers is what all of us can do. Y'all can't preach, or I will lose my job. Amen. I'm not going. But we can all pray. We can all take time to pray for a brother, pray for a sister, grab the prayer list, pray for the missionaries, make a list of things and people, and call on their names, find a group, meet the needs, say, "Hey, why don't we come a little earlier for church? Let's just meet and pray at the altar about 15 minutes before church. Hey, why don't we stay after? Let's just pray that the preacher will preach better next time." I'll take that prayer. Now it's going to have a real prayer meeting after this. Seriously, I need it. I need it. And my mom, she said, I said, "How's Dad doing?" And we're talking, and she said, "Well, you know, he was a little sick the other day, and talked to the doctor, so we got some medicine for his stomach, and you tell Elliot to pray for him. Because I know God will hear his prayers." Thanks, Mom. But when I was the Sunday school director at Mount Orb, I begged every teacher, I said, "You make every kid pray for me, pray for the preacher every Sunday. Because I know God will hear those innocent prayers more than he'll hear these corrupted prayers." Man, it smells good to the Lord if we'll just get on our knees and pray. Before you talk and say, why don't you get on your knees and pray? Before you call and review, why don't you just get on knees and pray through? Before you, whatever it is, take some more time. It smells good to God. Boy, it's such a simple thing. All of us know, read your Bible, pray every day, and we don't have to preach anymore the rest of the year. Just get those things. But it's true. It smells wonderful to God. It's an odor. In Revelation 5:8, the golden vials. Notice it wasn't brass or silver or earthen. It was the gold vials that were full of the odors of the prayers. Hey, make sure you put those in something worth the most. Don't put those over in those other vessels. Put those prayers in the golden vessels. Those are precious. Those are powerful. Those are priceless. Yes. And that's what smells wonderful. Amen. To God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Amen.